Things That Go Boom, Lessons from My Days in Olive Drab by Specialist Fourth Class Clint Morey. Episode 1, Baby Boomers Wanted. Now, growing up, I used to think of myself as just a common, regular, ordinary guy. But as I got older, I found out that I was something special. Very, very special. So special, in fact, that demographers, whatever they were, came up with a name to describe me. They called me a baby boomer. That meant I was one of those kids born shortly after World War II. There were a little over 70 million of us. Okay, maybe we weren't all that special, but we happened to be hanging around, having a good time, when that Vietnam War thing started. Now, Vietnam wasn't one of those quickie wars. It went on year after year after year. And that's when the country realized they needed soldiers, lots of soldiers. So the politicians looked around, and there we were, the baby boomers. We were the perfect choice to fill the ranks in the military. Now, before I tell you how they got us, I should give you a little background about what being a baby boomer meant to me. Now, we baby boomers were the very first generation in history that grew up with that babysitter of all babysitters, television. I'm old enough to remember the first TV set that arrived on our block. We went over to a neighbor's house to look at it in operation. The screen was small, but it was all so magical. And then we got one of our own. And it wasn't long before that black and white television set was in the living room in its designated spot, and it became an important part of our lives. If you didn't watch TV, why, you might have to read or talk to someone else in your family. TV usually won. And you have to remember, this was before the internet and smartphones, before online streaming services and cable channels, before DVDs, even before VHS tapes. And there were just three channels, NBC, CBS, and ABC. And if you lived in a large city like I did, you might have a couple of local channels. What they put on is what you watched. And you watched it on their time schedule, not yours. There were no other options. And like so many in my generation, my mind was filled with Howdy Doody, the Lone Ranger, Rin Tin Tin, the Mouseketeers. Okay, I think you can see where I'm going with this. I should tell you something else. And my babysitter did something that I think is very important to the story I'm sharing with you. Through the movies I saw on television, the documentaries, the sitcoms, the dramas, my babysitter gave me the impression that our military was a force for good. It had saved the world from enemies seeking to destroy us during World War II, and it stood as a sentinel to protect us against a very real enemy that was seeking to destroy us after World War II. And that enemy was communism. Now, concerning the military, even today I can remember some of the stories that I saw on TV decades ago, stories that made an impression on me. One of the movies I really liked was Sergeant York. That was made at the beginning of World War II to encourage the people, even though it's about World War I, it was to encourage people to be involved in the war effort. I remember Casablanca, Yankee Doodle Dandy, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, all movies made during World War II, but even after the war, more movies were made about World War II. 12 O'Clock High, Mr. Roberts, Victory at Sea, the West Point story, the Annapolis story, and they even had stories about the military after World War II, peacetime military, the DI, that's one I do remember, Francis the Talking Mule, No Time for Sergeants, Operation Petticoat. Okay, I still drop by YouTube sometimes and check out old episodes of the Phil Silvers Show just to see what Sergeant Bilko is up to. And so what's my point in all this? Well, by the time I graduated from high school, my babysitter had shown me scores of movies and TV shows about the military, and I learned that our military was good and our country was good. In fact, the military of the generation before us baby boomers is called by many the greatest generation. Oh, I should probably mention there was one other little item we baby boomers became aware of. We were the first generation raised with the very real threat of this thing called global nuclear war. And it wasn't just a theoretical idea. It was a reality. We had the bomb, and so did they. And they might actually use it. The plan our government came up with to protect us from global nuclear war was called Mutual Assured Destruction. MAD. Well, my babysitter made sure that I saw pictures of above-ground nuclear tests on TV. They were allowed back then. There were specially constructed towns filled with mannequins, and we watched Mrs. Mannequin serve breakfast to Mr. Mannequin and her two children, Boy Mannequin and Girl Mannequin. What can I say? Back then, we thought there were boys and girls. We heard the countdown, and then we heard the explosion, and saw the wind from the atomic blast level the mannequin's home, their fictitious town, obliterating everything, leaving only the mushroom cloud behind. This baby boomer, me, realized that I could be vaporized in a few seconds. And that thought was reinforced in our monthly nuclear attack drills. You heard me right. And every month the warning sirens would ring throughout the city, testing the warning systems and reminding us of a nuclear attack's possibility. Radio stations joined in, telling what instruction they would give if it were a real nuclear attack. And in elementary school, not only did we have fire drills and earthquake drills, we did live in LA, so that made sense, but we also had nuclear attack drills. We were told how to position ourselves away from the windows and never to look at the blast, otherwise our eyes might melt right in their sockets. And then there were the bomb shelters. Now, we lived in a poor neighborhood, and no one I knew was able to build a bomb shelter. Well, at least, I don't think they did. Or if they did, they didn't let us know about it. But I'd read the book Hiroshima by John Hersey, and I wasn't so sure surviving a nuclear attack was that great of an option. And we knew where the attack was coming from. No question at all. The Russians. The Soviet Union made it very clear they were going to spread their vision of communism throughout the world, and if that meant conflict with the United States, then nuclear war could very well happen. I can remember the Cuban Missile Crisis when the chance of a nuclear war appeared very possible. I went to the local grocery store, and the shelves were empty because people were preparing for the attack. Now, I should let you know something else about me. I love history, and one of the things I noticed as I read history a lot growing up was that people, humans, have this penchant for engaging in wars. Wars are not an unusual activity in human history. Even in America, wars seem to be a part of life. Before we became a country, there was the French and Indian War. Less than a decade later, there was the American Revolution. The next generation had to deal with the War of 1812. There was the war with the Barbary pirates. There were Indian wars, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the war of my generation, the Vietnam War. It seemed like just about every generation had to deal with a war. And some had to deal with multiple wars in their lifetimes. I think of my grandmother. She was born in 1901. She was a teenager during World War I, that war to end all wars. And she used to tell me how she would go down to dances they held for the soldiers being sent off to war. Well, she would live to see America engaged in four wars. Like I said, it was not unusual. My dad was the age to be in World War II, but he was 4F. Which means he didn't qualify, so he didn't serve in the military. His brothers, however, did serve. I had another relative who was drafted during the Korean War era. And then here I was, about to graduate from high school, and the war of my generation was being fought. Was it my turn to go to war? One more thing you should know before I tell you about my time in Olive Drab. I became a Christian during my junior year in high school. Now, that decision would also impact the story that I'm going to share with you, but I'll talk more about that later. Right now, however, what I'd like to do is share with you some of the lessons that I learned. The first lesson was, be careful what you choose to consume. And I'm talking about news or music, literature, movies, social media. All of these sources will impact your worldview. They help form what you think is right or wrong, helpful or harmful, good or evil. In today's world especially, consider what stories you're putting into your mind, what you are letting shape your belief and your value system. The Bible has a great verse in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay, now in the next episode, I'm going to share with you how our government got us baby boomers to become part of the military. Now I'll give you a hint, don't tell anyone, but for many it was this thing called the draft. See you next time.